broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We believe the checks and balances put in place by the founders, brilliant, and the solution. We don't need revolution, but we need restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, using the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen. Special privileges for none, freedom for all is where we kind of roll. Hope you're doing absolutely fantastic. We talked about this serious issue yesterday called Jade Helm 15. That's right, J-A-D-E space H-E-L-M, the numbers 15. Jade Helm 15. What is it? Well, that's under debate. It's a seven-state plus wide, all four branches of the military training exercise to take place between July 15th and September 15th. Why is it of concern? What's the deal with it? Well, Jade 15's real. The government admits to it. There is information on it. They plan to blend in with the populations in Western states. The scenario is that Utah and parts of Texas, hostile area. Why is this of such great concern? People are concerned that it's going to violate posse comitatus. And there's many people who believe it's going to be the start of martial law in America. Jade Helm 15 means martial law is on the way. Now, everybody's reported on it. This discussion is beyond debate. Fox News, Reuters, CNN, everybody. Okay? So this is real. We've even talked to sheriffs about it. The debate is this another normal training exercise? This legitimate due to a real threat that we have? Well, to some degree, the answer is yes. Has this been done before? Yes. What makes this one so different then? Well, the duration, 3 months in length, the scope over 7+ states, the blending in with the population as these troops intend to do, all make it bigger than any other former two training exercise. The mainstream press, Megyn Kelly and others at Fox, claim this is nothing, it's nothing new, don't worry about it, it's no big deal. Anybody who thinks it's martial law is crazy. Well, I kind of come down in the middle on this one. I don't believe it's a martial law scenario, but I also don't believe it's nothing like Megyn Kelly wants you to believe. TZ, one of our listeners, kind of nailed it perfect. He says this: hey, man, with the cops getting tanks and machine guns and being federalized, who really needs the actual military to violate posse comitatus? See, I agree with that. We have the war on drugs where cops act like stormtroopers. The listener continues. He's right as rain. But Sam goes off on his concerns for America. Okay? I think that this Jade Helm 15 is a problem. I don't think it's martial law, but I don't think we can ignore it. Every time we don't do anything about these things, these exercises become closer to the people, larger in scope, and of a greater concern. When you look at the MIAC report released by Missouri, when you look at Homeland Security in bed with the Southern Poverty Law Center, dubbing the American male, primarily white, who believes in the Constitution, who happens to be a Christian, when they identify us as the possible domestic threat terrorist to be worried about or concerned about, then Jade Helm starts to become a very serious concern in a hurry. And how long will it be when troops blend in with the public to where we will have somebody from the public do something, make a move that they, quote, ought not, and before you know it, it gets out of hand, spins out of control. This is an accident waiting for a place to happen, in my humble opinion. It is not good. We need to speak out about it. We need to do our very best to stop it. You need to talk to your local municipalities at all levels and try to stop it. But you can't go off and start talking about martial law and how you hate cops, and I'm telling you, it'll get you nowhere. So have a reasonable approach in your discussion to stop this. But I'm more worried about the immorality in America than I am even Jade Helm 15, ladies and gentlemen. I'm worried about U.S. finally cracks down on female teachers having sex with their students. You know, it kind of used to be thought of, oh, man, this little boy got lucky with his pretty female teacher. No, it's child abuse, ladies and gentlemen. And now finally we're starting to see the mainstream take this responsibility of the United States cracking down on these female teachers. Good for them. Okay, I also talked about morality in America and net neutrality in America. I believe they're of greater concern. If net neutrality has its ultimate way, the Democrats have really been trying to change the game. What's been our effective solution in America is being able to speak out via the radio and use the internet to even the score and circumvent the mainstream press, the new media taking center stage, as I like to call it. Well, they're trying to shut that down with net neutrality. So if you promote immorality and net neutrality and take us off the radio, you probably wouldn't even know about Jade Helm 15, folks. That is of greater concern for me. Kirk Cosby wisely warned as well, hey, if we're going to have a training exercise, why do a fake one across all seven states? Why not focus on the border where we don't need a training exercise? We need real, live, on-the-job training to protect our border that leaks like a sieve. And maybe we can stop real terrorism and real Al-Qaeda and ISIS organizations that may be wanting to do harm to Americans. Maybe we could do a reality training exercise. Kurt's wise, and that's what ought to be done. But no, they're not thinking about that. That's what's strange about it all. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour 2, we continued the discussion. Norway to become first country to switch off FM radio in 2017. And AM radio has been under attack in the United States for a long time. FM radio now being turned off in countries, and they're going to crank on turning off the old technology and controlling the digital technology to where you and I may not even have the ability to listen to real talk radio with news the networks refuse to use. That's of greater concern. We finished out the hour by talking about, are yearly physicals really necessary? According to a 2012 study, no. Checkups don't help people avoid hospitalizations, death, worry, or future appointments. In addition, an annual physical can be dangerous and can lead to unnecessary procedures that can ratchet up complications and costs beyond imagination. This idea of what we call, quote, the routine physical is a completely arbitrary construct based on billing for insurance companies, not the benefit for the patient. All right. Anyway, so the doctors triple down and finally admit that in the mainstream press. But then they finish by saying, but that doesn't mean that you should avoid physicals. Oh, no, sir. You should go for your yearly physical 2.0. That might be either semi-annually, so you'd go twice a year. And they're going to start to have conversations with your physician. What does all that mean? It means they're going to use healthcare to back into a real discussion about not only your physical care, but your spiritual, your mental, your emotional health care as well. And they're not going to take too kindly to this discussion. They're going to ask if you have guns in the home. They're going to ask, you know, little girls, hey, are you free to have sex at will? Do you need birth control? Are your parents trying to force their religious ideas about sex on you? By the way, does your daddy have a gun? Is he really into politics? You know, they'll start to ask all kinds of, do you have vaccinations? Do you? And pretty soon, they're going to use it as a political wedge to divide families. Write it down and remember who told you first. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's show. Today's show starts now. News the networks refuse to use on tap. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You only got about a minute left in the segment, Kurt, but I mentioned your concern with Americans. We ought to be protecting the border. My concern is immorality. My concern is they're going to do their very best to control and take over the media more. Any other quick concerns for America that you think are viable?
You know, I mean, we could certainly start with, you mentioned, return to God's laws. You got the Federal Reserve. You got the IRS, you got the 17th Amendment. I mean, you know, it's, as one guy said, it's a target-rich environment. There's certainly plenty of things to work on, but, the media, the info that you talked about with the new net neutrality kind of push, et cetera, there's a lot of things to work on, don't you think?
There are a lot of things to work on, and I think the Federal Reserve and fiat currency is one of the biggest ones. I think another huge one that we really need to work on is education. You know, those are some of the most expensive government programs. If you look at your state level, education takes up a significant amount of your state budgets. I mean, we probably spend more money on the Federal Reserve and on education and then on military, probably more so than anything else I can think of. And they're some of the most devastating. By the time you destroy the currency and create a hidden tax called inflation, by the time you turn education into indoctrination, and by the time you start funding military or war zones all over the world, man, that's a recipe for disaster, a threefold destruction of the freest country on the face of the earth. We got to see it stop. But even with all the problems in America, we have a great country, and we can do more for others who are in a worse plight. We'll talk about that in seconds.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And this half hour of Liberty Roundtable Live is brought to you in part by your scientifically backed free vigor test. How would you like to find out your energy levels? Put a number to that. Work hard with natural health and healing solutions and improve your vigor, your energy, your zest for life. How would you like to set aside depression, frustration, anger, confusion, and replace it with clarity of mind and then energy? All right, get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn more. Kurt, C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. All right, without further ado, we got a lot of problems in America, and Kurt and I pointed out some of the things that I really think we need to work on to restore the greatest country on the face of the earth. However, there are people around the world who have a much worse plight than we do. And worldwide, you hear about the downtrodden cultures and societies, and they always relate to black people or that kind of stuff. But reality is, you know what? There are white people that are having trouble as well. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about it. We're not afraid to discuss racial issues here because we believe in one simple principle. If you think we're racist, we just want to say this. We believe in equality for all, special privileges for none. You got that? Equality for all, special privileges for none. And any divide line you want to abuse us with, that applies to black, white, men, women, tall, short, fat, skinny, left, right, Republican, Democrat, whatever you want to say. Look, equality for all, special privileges for none. Now that we got that out of the way, we got on the line with us one of our listeners who actually took the time to fly into Utah to meet us. And so before we get started, his name is Matt Felak. His nickname is the Copperhead. We'll get into those details in a minute. But Matt, I just want to say this. One of the things that Sam and Kurt, James Edwards, a lot of the talk show hosts that we work with, we are as real on the radio as we are in person. The things that we talk about in public are the things that we believe in and work on in private. We think of our listeners as family, as friends, as loved ones, and we're not just putting on a show for showbiz. I don't have a different name on the radio than I have off. It's my same name. It's really me. Okay, I have the wife I say I have. I have the 8 children I say I have. I homeschool like I say that I do. I really do. My life is really what I tell you that it is. It's not some facade or some alter ego or some kind of showbiz thing. Matt Listener, welcome to the Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Good morning, Sam. How are you doing? And you're absolutely right. You and Kirk are living proof of what you are on the radio. You're not just personalities and talk show hosts. You live it.
Now, frankly. Matt's been in both of our homes. He's spent hours and hours with us at the dinner table. He's met all of our children, our wives. You know, Matt knows, hey, I'm telling you, we are exactly as we say we are. Is that true, Matt?
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
All right. So I just wanted to point that out because I think that's kind of an interesting thing. Now, who is Matt Felak for the listener?
Well, Matt Felak is probably a middle-aged white male born in America, lived several places within America and around the world, working-class guy who for the last 12 years has been working in the inner city of New York. And basically just a guy trying to make a living for him and his family.
Now, you make a living in the heating and air conditioning business, the HVAC business, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
All right.
And I've had the privilege to work in a lot of different buildings in New York and metropolitan area. And one of the most rewarding work I've had is working in hospitals and big government hospitals and seeing with my own eyes what goes behind the walls there.
And that's because they have huge heating and air conditioning systems, right?
That's for sure. Correct.
All right. Well, the way the listeners have kind of learned about Matt Felak is Matt Felak popped on the radio as the Copperhead. It's a nickname, which we'll get into in just a second. But in addition to Matt being a family man, he's got a couple of kids. He's an HVAC guy. He's you know, just a worker in America doing his best. He's an American guy. He lived in New York for a long time, now lives down in Arkansas. Matt also, the interesting thing that people ought to know about Matt is how we introduced Matt to the radio as Matt started traveling around the country. And his first kind of real claim to radio as a reporter was he was on the ground in Ferguson. He was on the ground in some of these crazy situations where it's like we need a real report of what was going on. And one of your claims to fame was you were able to say, look, I'm not a TV reporter. I'm just Joe Blow here because I care. Isn't that how it started?
That's right. I'm just the Copperhead on boots on the ground, seeing what's going down.
All right. So you're able to report, and believe it or not, a lot of people weren't willing to talk to reporters, but they were willing to talk to Matt because he was just a citizen.
Sure. Absolutely.
I found that a fascinating twist, and I think that's really what we need more of in America, Matt.
Yes, it was really a unique experience. It was a good experience, and you know, a lot of people opened up that lived in Ferguson, both black, white, Latino, you name it, Asians. They were all willing to talk to me and kind of give me their own side of the story, so to speak.
And just to put a Molotov cocktail, so to speak, not literally, ladies and gentlemen, but into this racial divide they want to try to pretend America has, Matt was in Ferguson. He was needing gas. He ran out of gas. It was getting dark, and he asked a white guy to help him. Not that he chose a white guy. That's just who was there first. And the guy's like, hey, man, I got to go. I'm too busy, and took off. Well, Matt happens to be white. But then the next guy he saw was a black guy. Of course, Matt didn't care. Matt asked him for some help. The guy gave him gas. Matt tried to pay him. The guy smiled and said, nah, man, forget it. Do it for somebody else. Have a great day, man. See you later. And it just goes to show that it's not about race. It's about people, right?
Absolutely. And that's the point I keep making time and time again. And the frustration I have and a lot of other people have, it's, you know, people need to be looked at and taken as individuals time and time and not classes. A group of people, but yeah, that's a frustrating thing, especially in the big inner cities that you'll see. You are an individual, no matter what your race or ethnicity is, working, providing services for people, and you see certain groups, especially the African Americans, that are locked in a groupthink mentality, and it becomes frustrating for people when, you know, ranks are closed on you, and certain opportunities are certainly closed on you and for advancement, and you have spokespeople that say they're spokespeople of their community, celebrities such as like Spike Lee, that after the latest renaissance in Brooklyn, where white kids in their 20s come from all over the country, all over the world actually, and along with Asian kids and young, this movement's called the Hipsters Movement. And they create little bastions of prosperity and kind of have a, these neighborhoods have a real buzz about them. And they get into niche businesses like carpentry and cabinet making and cafes and all the sorts of things. And ride around on bicycles because, you know, they love, they're frugal and they want to keep the environment clean as they believe. But, and then you have Spike Lee saying, we don't need whites in Brooklyn. You're not welcome here. So,
and
so
ladies and gentlemen, the sad part is this. There are good people and there are bad people all over the world. And you know what? I want to associate with, be friends with good people everywhere. People that are honest, people that are kind, people that are respectful, people that believe there's dignity for all. And I don't want to have anything to do with people who believe in turning on one another, who believe in dishonesty or immorality. Or I don't want anything to do with them. And I don't care what race or color they are. I just don't want to deal with bad people. I don't want people to have it out for me, etc. And that's really what this discussion's about. Well, that's in a nutshell who Matt is. But we got one last phrase. What on earth is the copperhead? A lot of people know the copperhead is a snake. Well, Matt's certainly not a snake, ladies and gentlemen. There's a different term for it. We'll brief you on. Then we'll get into this discussion about some white people around the world who really aren't getting a fair shake. The worst part about it at all, or of an entire issue, is that no one's really talking about it or willing to do anything about it. We'll talk about it with Matt, the Copperhead, in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Matt the Copperhead brought up the hipsters movement. You say, what is it? Well, it's an underground subculture. Yeah, critics point to their niche consumerism and mock their sense of style because they wear flannel shirts and stuff like that. But retrospect often blurs important realities about who the hipsters are. The fact is, they're very involved in politics. They care about their feelings and their beliefs tremendously. And they echo revolutionary groups of the past. Hipsters loved to admire those in the past. Anyway, there you have it. It's kind of an interesting subculture of people. And the fact is, they're considered, for the most part, outcasts. What we need to learn to do is, whether we agree with the hipsters or not, we need to give everybody a fair shake, Matt.
Absolutely, and I'm quite certain that the hipsters would not agree with my politics, and I have had lengthy debates to no end with a lot of them in the metropolitan New York area, but the fact is that they are a group that work, maybe not united as a group, but with the common direction to come in and make a place blossom.
And they focus on their general belief system, and that's kind of what binds them together, even though they may not be considered an organized group, right?
Correct. And that they were willing to go into neighborhoods that were completely blighted and boarded up and made them into nice little neighborhoods that everyone can enjoy for the benefit of all people. And I always say the secret sauce in hipsterdom is whites that have initiative and imagination.
It reminds me of the hippie days where Bob Seger sung about Turn the Page. And he talked about, hey, I'm different. I got long hair and people kind of think I'm a freak. But you know what? They need to just leave me alone and I'll leave them alone and we could be all happy together. But no, they won't do it. And that's kind of what we're starting to see on the world stage as well, Matt. Before we get there, we want to kind of define the Copperhead. So the Copperhead does have Southern roots to the term. If you want to talk about the Tread on Me flag, it has reference to that. Or Don't Tread on Me, right?
That's correct. I was raised in the South, lived in a lot of places, but probably spent my most formidable years in Central Florida. And that's kind of where I gained a lot of my political ideology and beliefs. and constitutional form of government, liberty-minded person. And that's when I started working in the Northeast. I kind of saw this come in like a direct opposite direction of where my beliefs were to a lot of people that were in the Northeast, and particularly New York and New York City. And I started going by the name Copperhead, you know, seeing myself more aligned with the people of the South in the ante and postbellum during the Civil War.
In short, basically, what it has reference to is somebody who lives in the Northeast or lives in the big city, but yet longs for the country, longs for the South, longs for the ideology of women are women and men are men, and kind of the belief of the South, a moral belief, etc. And Copperhead is a reference to that person who is just ready every second to take a southbound train, huh?
Correct.
All right, there you have it. The Copperhead's on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to spend some time with that summary so you knew who he is. He's a very passionate man about things he believes in. And he's taken up this issue about the white South African, in my opinion, disenfranchised folks who are in, I don't know if I had to call them concentration camps, what they call them is squatter camps. But even Reuters is talking about this issue. And Reuters' headline about this, Matt, says, tough times for white South African squatters. Who are they, you say? Well, in summation, you got a variety of groups. It's not just black and white and like you might think in Africa. And Africa's not just black people like you might think. If you live under a rock or sheltered, as Americans mostly are, sad to say, that's what you kind of believe. There's a lot of people historically that have ended up in Africa, and it's not as simple as people think it is. You got to understand who's who. There's a lot of, quote, factions. Right, Matt?
Correct. And just without getting into too much detail of camps, you know, I tend to use the word concentration camp because the people that are living in the white Afrikaners people are concentrated in their movements. They are not allowed to be part of society in where they can go out and get a job due to black economic empowerment. And we'll touch on that in a second. But they're concentrated on the food they get to receive. They're concentrated on the services they receive, which is none from the government and very limited from loosely connected Africana charities.
And let's be very clear, they're not there by choice.
Absolutely. So I do use the term concentration camp.
All right, and so do I, but the mainstream press is very hesitant to use it. They use these squatter camp terms, and that's kind of why I'm making the difference of who's who. They want to kind of whitewash, pardon the pun, this scenario.
Okay.
We're not going to let them get away with it, though. We're going to focus on the real issues here. Now, let me kind of break this down a little bit. In Africa, there's two main white groups, if you will. You got the white Afrikaners, who speak a language called Afrikaans, or Afrikaans. And then you got the white people that speak English. That's kind of the general idea. Now, you've got a lot of white people that are very rich in South Africa or in Africa. Those white people that are rich can do what they want. They're not included in this. But there are groups of people after Nelson Mandela took power in 1994 who have been swept into this white underclass. Most of them are right at or below the poverty line. They're struggling to even have the basic necessities of life, Matt.
That's correct. The population, a rough figure that I have, is 9% white in South Africa. And they're the uber minority of people. And you have within this minority of people, you have a language minority, the Afrikaan people, the Afrikaners, who are descendants of the Dutch, the French, the Germans, and various other European people that came together.
Now, let me just kind of rewind the tape for a second on history so people understand. You know, you're thinking South Africa. What? How? What does that have to do with European nations? Well, a whole lot if you study history, right?
Correct. Absolutely. The Dutch basically founded through the Dutch colony, the Dutch East Trading Company, founded the Cape Colony, which today is now Cape Town. And started settlers came over that were Calvinist in their belief in Christians that wanted to escape persecution in Europe, mainly in French Huguenots, who were French Protestant Calvinists, Presbyterians, as we probably would know them today. and settled in the South African Cape. And they were flourishing there and kind of created their own community. And then the British came along. The British came along and started making inroads into the Cape Colony. And before you knew it, time passes on. A gentleman by the name of Cecil Rhodes finds out that there's a large mineral deposits all throughout South Africa, gold, diamonds. He has the plan to take over the water sources and build a railroad. His dream is a railroad from South Africa to Egypt, which the English, British at the time controlled. So this goes head to head with the Afrikaner people, who kind of developed their own way and they just want to be left alone, their own way of life, their own religion. And they get together and form groups that want to trek out. They want to go from the Cape Colony, which is in western South Africa, to the Eastern Cape. So it's known as the Great Trek. This happens in the 1840s. They organize in wagon trails. It's very similar to people here in the United States and our founders.
And understand the African the Afrikaans language that they speak primarily is a derivative of Dutch, right?
Correct. Correct.
Which I find old fascinating. Dutch. So here's the bottom line, Matt. If you're white and if you're a Christian, as far as I can tell, you are virtually hated and downtrodden, and you become a minority. Even if you're not maybe a minority in your own country, you become a minority in terms of beliefs and in terms of everything is pointed against you. White,
well, there's
male,
certainly minorities.
Christians.
Exactly. This is years and years of communist infiltration and liberalism, and that we've seen it. We've been victims of it also, where in the 80s we were propagandized on TV that these terrible white South Africans were keeping down a black majority, and that was given us and fed to us in the most simplest of terms, and we're not given the whole facts of the situation. And yes, was apartheid wrong? Of course it was, but it was established by the English first.
It was celebrated and promoted by communists everywhere, and many factions
Absolutely.
Of society have simply backed that satanic agenda. Christians, white Christians.
I have some
are
facts
hated.
When we come back, I have some facts I'd like to just get into. And,
we'll do it. White Christians are hated everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. And then the question is, what can we do about it? Is the real ultimate discussion point. We'll do it with Matt Felak, the Copperhead, in seconds on your radio. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Matt the Copperhead on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this serious, serious issue. White Christians seem to be hated everywhere. And even though they're not maybe a minority in a given country, they're treated like a minority, and worse, many times, and in some cases, they're literally a minority. The Reuters news piece says tough times for South African squatters. I'm talking about, they call them squatter camps, but really they're concentration camps, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely, Sam.
And the sad part is these white Afrikaners who speak Afrikaans and some English-speaking groups as well, the fact is white Christians are hated everywhere, and we see it in its most evil, abusive form in Africa in these camps right now. It affects somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million people. They're white. A lot of them, sad to say, are educated. After Nelson Mandela took the presidency and he promoted his apartheid abuse agenda, you could say he's against this or for this and that, but the reality is what he really wanted to do was make black whites take the abuse that blacks used to take. That's the bottom line. So the reason that I say for or against apartheid is because the sad part is you think you know what apartheid is, but what it really means is payback, doesn't it, Matt?
Well, exactly. If you look at every revolutionary movement from Mozambique, Rhodesia that became Zimbabwe, Angola, and now South Africa, that whole region was communist-infiltrated Marxist ideology that led to installments of despotic leaders such as Robert Mugabe, who has genocided basically 90% of the whites of that were the farmers, and led to his own countrymen's famine and destruction, and just the place is an absolute basket case. The same happened in Mozambique. The same happened in Angola for years. They were just kept down. And so this, and then the ultimate was the establishment of the African National Congress under Mandela. That's a one-party ruled system, and they are in league. This is fact. You can go on their website and follow where they're connected with the International Socialist Movement. So they're communists.
And bottom line is this idea of communism or tyranny or control of individuals by governments, all under the guise of the greater good, really has turned the breadbasket of the world into the great, huge basket case, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. 75,000 white farmers, known as Boeres, have been killed on their farms by black South Africans. Let that sink in, folks. Genocide Watch, which is an international watchdog on genocide around the world.
And hold on, the world governments seem to turn a blind eye and do nothing.
Well, that's what they tend to do with genocide. You look at Pol Pot's Cambodia. Even today, you have Erdogan in Turkey getting and rallying these people that he's been offended that the Armenian genocide was mentioned by Pope Francis. It goes on and on and on. Genocide denial is not unique to the European continent, and as some forces like to believe. So here we go, folks. Just some numbers here. Going back to the 60 years that apartheid was established, the government regime doctrine, only 0.6% of blacks were killed by government forces during the 60 years of apartheid.
And let me make this very clear. We think that's horrible, by the way.
Everyone's death is horrible.
Agreed. So what I mean by this is just because we say this, though, that doesn't mean we're dismissing that, Matt.
Correct. Blacks killed by blacks in the 60 years of apartheid was 22%. Okay? Now, in the 20 years that apartheid's been abolished and
I don't think it's been abolished, though. I think it's just been twisted.
You're absolutely correct.
Point,
it's just been flipped.
That's right.
And
so you might say, like we talk about discrimination and then reverse discrimination, it's like reverse apartheid going on.
Well, it's the blueprint for what's going to happen to us on the American continent if we don't get our act together. And just a quick fact here, whites killed by blacks since apartheid's end is 77%.
Wow.
Of all the white deaths, 77%. Genocide Watch has South Africa on stage 6. And that means that one more stage is a full genocide. And genocide, by its very definition, means the government has a hand in it, or at least is complicit in it. And the South African ANC-dominated government is absolutely complicit in the genocide of its white citizens. These are people. You have kids now that were just born 4 years ago, 3 years ago. Are they responsible for what is believed that their grandfathers did?
Absolutely of course not. And even if their grandfathers did it, though, the payback isn't the
answer.
Even
if their fathers did it. But let's get something straight. The white government, when it was finally in the 60s, I believe 1962, established their independence, as you would, from the Commonwealth of Great Britain and created their own republic. And they set up nations for all the tribes and gave lands to all the people of South Africa. And we always want to think in the context of black and white. No, there's Southeast Asians, Indians, and Pakistanis, Bangladeshis that were brought over by the British to build the railroads. There's colored people that are classified even today as colored that are mixed. And a lot of them actually speak Afrikaans. So we got to kind of get out of this whole thinking black and white. You know, it's truly a rainbow nation, just like our nation. And everyone deserves a spot at this nation. And another thing, how we're thinking to ourselves, how is white Americans or any Americans for that matter, how does this concern us? Well, it concerns us because you had a certain word that was thrown around for many years in the 20 years post-apartheid nation of South Africa, and that was called white privilege. And what do we hear quite often today is white privilege.
The same terms, the same agenda seems to be. And in America, the blacks say, you know what, we need reparations for slavery that took place a long time ago, and now what we see is this apartheid turned on its head. All you do is marginalize and abuse a different segment of the population. We stand against all of it, ladies and gentlemen. We stand for special privileges for none and equality for all. That's not what this is about. The sad part is these people are in these abuse concentration camps with no chance for any opportunities. And what can we do about it, Matt?
Well, here's the deal. We've seen a new movement here in America with a government and president of signing executive orders so people, refugees, can come live here. We need to push so the Afrikaners can live here. We need to bring them over, have them become part of the fabric of our society and become Americans that are liberty-minded, constitutional-loving, and decent citizens. I think we can do it. We're absolutely going to do it.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's something that we can do, and believe it or not, it wouldn't take that many of us to really get the ball rolling. We'd need to set up a system. Let's see. What's that railroad that they took blacks from the south to the north called? The Underground Railroad?
That's it.
Maybe we need that kind of a deal. Maybe we need a railroad to freedom for these people.
Well, the government policy on immigration is I can't understand it, but I can't understand a lot of their policies on. I mean, you break 10 laws before you wake up and switch your light on in the morning. So I guess there isn't a policy on immigration. So they should just come over here and set up their lives and live a life and become part of the fabric, not the patchwork of anarchy of a quilt that we're seeing throughout the nation in various cities. And I think they would blend in quite well. We need liberty-minded people to come take up the cause of being a constitutionalist, a good American, a good citizen for your fellow people, for your fellow person here on the American continent.
And the sad part about this is many of these people are highly educated.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's another thing they're being deprived of, is education. This is, we're seeing whites in inner city areas being deprived of going to certain schools just because it's just not an option for them. The violence is you know, the numbers would be staggering if people actually sat down and calculated the amount of white Americans that had to leave a certain area of their birth and childhood where they grew up. It would be staggering. It would be something along the lines of the migration of people. Misplaced DPs of World War II in Europe. So, you know, folks, people saying, what can we do? How, you know, it's just so far out of our reach and, you know, even comprehension. Well, Sam, I know you have a lot of liberty-minded people that listen to you every day of all colors, all backgrounds. It's, you know, we need to have a people come in that will join us in our struggle for our cause, to not a revolution, but to reestablish
a restitution of freedom for all, baby.
That's it, brother. Thank you so much for having me on. God bless everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business, and their plight is a sad one. And ignoring of that plight only makes us semi-responsible. It's time for Americans to start reaching out in ways that matter. It's time for us to start to bring relief to our brothers and sisters everywhere, regardless of their color. We need to stand for liberty everywhere and do what's right and follow the Prince of Peace, ladies and gentlemen. All right, hopefully that was educational just for you. Many people don't even have that on their radar in America. We're so protected, sad but true. But we wanted to give you a little inkling. There's also Christians in other places that are abused as well. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. We the people can restore America. And then reach out to others. You're going to help us? This nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com.